Well, hey, you've seen me this morning a little bit. If you're new, my name is Andrew, and this morning I get the privilege of bringing us our message on Youth Sunday. I'm excited to see how God's going to use this time and how God has used my life over the past few years while I've been in Craig. I have my handy-dandy water bottle up here with my pickleball logo in case I get parched, you know. Every once in a while that happens. You guys, a little bit about myself. Most of you know this, but as I said earlier, this is my fifth and final year on PAYS, and it's actually my fourth year at the Journey, but my fifth year on PAYS. So I started serving with PAYS in England in 2020, in August of 2020, and I got to be a part of a local church there and get involved with youth and schools work there. And that was a really blessed time. God really grew me there and gave me, ignited a passion for youth and schools ministry to where I wanted to stay on and come and continue to do PAYS. So in 2020, of course, we had COVID, and I finished my time in England, and then I was asked, my visa ran out. And so I was asked, okay, well, you have to go back to the States, but if you want to stay on PAYS longer, there's a spot in Colorado. And so I thought about it, prayed about it, and I felt like what God was doing in my heart and in my life, in the calling he was kind of bringing to my mind and it was being refined, meant that I needed to stay on PAYS longer. I didn't know much about, you know, how PAYS was run in the States because I had served in England. But I knew God wasn't done with me yet, and so I said yes. And they said, there's a place in Colorado, there's a church in Craig, and they sent me a link, and I checked out your guys' website and saw all your beautiful faces, and I just fell in love from there, obviously. And so that was 4 years ago. In I came in August of 2020, and now we are at the end of June 2024. Today I would like to share with you some of the lessons God has taught me along the way and how I think they can be applicable to all of our lives. So I have five lessons over 5 years that at least I've learned. I think I've learned more than that, but this morning our title is Five Lessons Over 5 Years. And what I've done is I've just compiled things that over my time in ministry and over my time with PAYS as an organization and over my time with you guys here at The Journey, God has brought me through a lot of trials, and he's grown me and he's stretched me. And this morning, my heart is just to share some of the things that I feel like I have grown in and am continuing to grow in. And I hope it's an encouragement for our body. So my five lessons that I've learned, I'm going to go over them and then we'll break them down. Number one, there is healing power in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Number two, there is beauty and multicultural fellowship. Yeah, we get to see a lot of that on PAYS. It's amazing. Number three, God's timing is greater than my own. That was a hard lesson. Still learning that one, as I'm sure most of us are. Number four, serving the body of Christ is part of our calling. Serving is part of our calling. And number five, God will use a humble heart. God will use a humble heart. Ryan read out Ephesians 2:10 for us, and it says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In advance, God prepared good things for us to do. I feel like this verse is kind of really, it's become one of my life verses, and I feel like it encompasses my time here with you guys and my time in ministry, because God knew what he wanted to do with me and my life and how he was going to use me. I didn't think I would ever get into ministry. I never thought I'd leave my hometown of Linden, Washington. And so all of those things were new to me. but God knew in advance, and he had good works prepared for me that I am now currently living out and doing. So that's kind of an overarching verse that I wanted to start with. With my first lesson, there's healing power in the mighty name of Jesus. Luke 9, 1 through 2, we'll throw it up there for you guys. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he set them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So right there, we have a direction from Jesus to go out and to do these things. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. When I joined Pace in England in 2020, we did a lot of street ministry. And we'd go out on the streets of Burnley, in the town I was in, and we'd set up a booth, and we'd pass out Because You Love cards and bracelets, similar to what we do here. And that was the first time that I got to see acts of miracles. I got to pray for people on the street. I saw healing on the street. I saw people come to Jesus. I saw sick people get relieved from pain. I never saw that growing up. And to read scripture and then to go out and to do it, I think are two different things. And so on Pays, it's taught me to live out my faith, to have an active faith. And that street ministry was uncomfortable for me. It was something I wasn't used to, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful because I got a chance to see brokenness be restored through Jesus because of his name, because of what he did for us, because of his power. And it was amazing. And I think I got a taste of that while I was serving with Pays in England, and I wanted to continue that. I'm like, wow, like God is using me. I'm praying for people. People are getting healed because of Jesus. Like, this is amazing. And I think it stirred something in my heart that I wanted to continue to be a part of. And in Craig, we've been able to do some street ministry and go out in front of Walmart and go outside of City Market this year a few times and ask for people, ask if we could pray for people. And it's amazing the amount of times that people would say yes. We barely got any no's. We prayed for healing. We prayed for reduced pain. We prayed for people with cancer. We prayed for restored marriages. We prayed for kids who are in prison. People will share things if you have a genuine heart and ask them. And that's something I've learned on Pays is to be bold and to pray for people and to go out and to live out that verse, to live out, to go proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And that's something that our organization does well and that I got to witness and be a part of while I was here. So true healing is found in Jesus alone. I want us to know that. And also that Jesus charges us to go and heal our friends. He gives us this task. He sends us out to do it and to be bold and to pray for people. And so if that's something that you don't normally do, I want to challenge you that it is scary. It is hard. We have a fear of rejection. I think some of our kids, when we did it for the first time, maybe were a little afraid. Is that true? Some of you who've been with us on these projects? Yeah. I still get a little afraid sometimes when I pray for people in public. But I love to do it, and I know I'm supposed to do it, and God wants me to do it. So I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to be faithful. True healing is found in Jesus alone, and Jesus changes us, charges us to go and heal our friends. Okay, so that was my first lesson. Not each lesson is from each year. It's just kind of like five lessons overall, collaboratively. Lesson two, there is beauty in multicultural fellowship. Man, I have been so blessed by all the people I've met on Pays from different countries and different places. My experience first started at Cape and Ray Hall in England when I went to Bible school first. And at that school, there was people from over 50 countries, from Indonesia and China and Brazil and Australia and places that I had never been, some places I had hardly heard of. And I think God opened my world to how many people are in his world that he's created. And at Cape and Ray, I got to meet a lot of people from different countries. And then on Pays, we're an international organization, and we get to see and meet people from different places. Galatians 3:26 through 29 says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you will be baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. We're all one big family, you guys. And to be a part of an organization that includes the nations has blessed me richly. And I know our church body has been blessed by our PAYS teams. The past 6 years, if you haven't been coming to the Journey all of those 6 years, this church has been a supporter of this nonprofit for 6 years and brought in 6 different teams and 19 different missionaries. 19 different missionaries have come through our door. So let's praise God for that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's something I've learned. And through that, I think there was 3 points. God has wired us to desire community. God has wired us to thrive in community. And God has wired us to create community. I think there is something in us from God that craves fellowship. And in a body of believers that is functioning well, I think that happens. And I've experienced that as a part of PAYS, and I've experienced that as a part of the Journey. This community of faith followers and believers is rich and diverse, and you guys have different experiences, and you share with us. And I think the girls all shared that they were just impacted most by our body, by you guys. And because you guys are following Christ and so evident, then you are able to engage with the body. And so, you know, I felt that at this church. And I felt that as PAYS, being a part of this organization, they've included me. They've discipled me. They've welcomed me. They've grown me as a leader. When I started in England, I was a team member, and I was, well, I was even less organized, even less of a leader. And so I have grown since then and am continuing to grow. But they saw me and they said, Andrew, we know God wants to use you and we want to invest in you and disciple you. And so I've experienced a community from my PAYS family, from my missionary friends on PAYS, from my leaders on PAYS, and then I've experienced that here with you guys at the Journey. God wired us to desire community, God wired us to thrive in community, and God wired us to create community. Lesson 3 that I've learned. God's timing is greater than my own. God's timing is greater than my own. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." We know this verse. We have this verse in our house, in our living room on a plaque, in our bathroom by our mirror, I don't know where. But do we really believe it? Do I really believe it? Because I still have worry. I still have anxiety. But it says that he knows the plans he has for us, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope in the future. If we believe that, then our future is secure in Christ. It's secure in Christ. We can still go through hardships, but it is secure in Christ. And that's something that he's taught me through these years. When I've had challenges, when I've missed home, when I've struggled with mental health, my future is secure in Christ. And I can take comfort in that. When I was applying for PAYS, I had to send in a visa. Right? And when I sent in this visa, I was told that it was going to take longer to get my visa back before the program started. It was going to take like 8 weeks for it to get back. And PAYS was starting in August, and I was going to be late to training. And I thought, oh man, like I have to tell my director that I'm going to be late and I'm going to, you know, miss all the training and then show up partway through, and I was stressed out. And at the time, I was working at a door factory in Linden, Washington, called Linden Door. Some people are surprised to know that I actually worked with my hands for a little while and built some things. I don't have a lot of trades or skills, but I did build bifold closet doors. So if you ever want to know more about bifold closet doors, I do know a thing or two about that. But I was there, and I was waiting to find out what was happening with my visa application. And I remember working in the factory, and my boss came up to me, and he said, "Hey, your mom's in the office." I was like, "Oh, that's strange. You should probably go. Like, I think she has something important." And I said, "Okay." So I left the line and went to the administrative office, and my mom was in there, and she was emotional. She almost had tears in her eyes. And I was like, "Mom, like, what's going on? Like, what's up?" And she said, "Andrew, we got back the letter after 8 days. After 8 days. And they told us it was supposed to take 8 weeks. And so she sent me the visa, and I had to sign it, and then we had to send something back. But she came in to tell me, like, happy tears, right? She scared me. I thought someone died, or I thought, like, bad news. But she came to share that it was, that it had come through in time. Not just in time, but the visa had come back with more than enough time. With more than enough time. Later, I found out that when we sent it into the proper people to begin with, my mom had apparently wrote a little handwritten note that was telling the U.S. Customs officer and administration, "So my son is a missionary, and he's going to go to England, and he really needs us to come back in time. Like, could you please hurry this process? Sincerely, Mom." No. Kelly. I didn't know she sent this little note. I didn't know she put that in. I don't know if that was the reason that it came back in time or not, but what I do know is that God was involved in that process, and that he figured it out for me. I was worried. I was anxious. I didn't think it was going to work out. I was planning. I had told everyone I was going to show up to England late, but in God's grace, he provided, and his timing, and it worked out. And not only did it work out, but it worked out and then some. I had time to spare. So God knows our plans for us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And I've seen that time and time again on my years serving in and with Pace. So God's timing is up to him. God's timing will happen with or without my permission. God doesn't need my approval before he submits his plans. He reveals his plans to me when he's good and ready. And I need to be patient and open to what he has ahead of me, which we know is good and prosperous and will give us a hope in the future. So because I know that, I can trust him. And I'm continuing to try to do that in my life. And God's timing is always better in the long run. Our hindsight is God's plan. In hindsight, we always see God's plan. We always see why he allowed things to happen a certain way. We don't see it in the moment. We struggle as humans to trust in God, to believe that he's good and that he does have a good hope and a future for us. But in hindsight's always 20/20, but it's always God's plan, I believe. I believe our hindsight is God's plan. What we see later, he was planning for right now. He was planning to let us go through, to let us walk through, to let us be a little anxious and need to trust him, and then he provides, and then he sends in the letter of approval because of mom's special note. I saw him provide, I thought it wasn't going to happen. I almost gave up on it. But it came through. So his timing is always better than ours. And in our hindsight, I think we can see that. And we look back on our life and we can see that. All right, lesson number 4 that I've learned. Serving the body of Christ is part of our calling. And I'll preface that with our calling. I've discovered that it's part of my calling, but I think as a body of believers, it's part of our calling, serving Christ, serving the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." All of us are the body. All of us have a role. All of us have gifts and abilities. I've said that up here before. And so the cool thing about the journey is I feel like we use them well. A lot of us are on teams. A lot of us serve. Just because you're not on a team doesn't mean you're not serving. And I think that's important to know that. We need to look a little broader, I think, at times than just, oh, I'm on this service team or I'm on that service team. You can be serving God and serving your community at Walmart by being kind to the teller, by asking for people for prayer, by buying someone's groceries ahead of them and letting them know, hey, God loves you. If you buy someone's groceries and don't tell them why, then I think it's just a kind act of service. But if you do it and tell them, hey, I believe God knows you and loves you, and I want to do this act of kindness as a way to bless you, then I think that's absolutely serving. So in whatever capacity you are, whether it's at church, ministry, on a service team, or just the way you live your life, I've discovered that for me, I've felt most fulfilled when I'm serving others. God has given me this desire to want to be involved in serving others, and specifically desiring to serve a body of Christ, to be in a church community. And as Len said, I am going to stay on with you guys and continue leading the charge for our middle school and high school youth ministry. Yeah, well, yeah. So I think serving is not optional. Serving is not optional. I think we all need to do it. I think God calls us to it. He asks us to do it as a part of the body. If we're a believer, we need to serve. In whatever way, in whatever capacity, we need to serve. Serving is a way we can bear fruit. And it's a way that people can know that we are following Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, not because of our works, as Len always reminds us. And works come out of a place, because we've been saved, we want to do good works. It comes after. And so I think serving is a part of that. When we're in the body, we should want to serve. We should want to bless people. We should want to be involved. Serving is a way we can bear fruit, and serving well should bring us closer to God. Serving well should bring us closer to God. I've discovered this. When I'm serving, when I'm with the youth ministry, at the end of the night, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I go home, I want to sleep, but I feel fulfilled. I feel full. So whatever area that you're serving in, I hope and I pray for you that you feel fulfilled after you're done serving. Whether it's hospitality with Teresa Moyer for years serving in that role, whether it's CR with Ed being the CR leader, right? Whatever your role is, you do it. You put your heart and your passion into it. You get tired afterwards, but you know that it's where you should be. It's your role, and you feel fulfilled because God's given you that role and that area to serve in. And I feel that way with the youth ministry. So whatever area, this is a challenge for you, is if you're not in a serving area or knowing what you're doing, I challenge you to find one, to get involved in one, and to get plugged in. All right, our final lesson that I've learned that I want to share with you this morning. And for me, I think it's the most important one that has really affected my heart and affected my life trajectory. And that is, God will use a humble heart. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." For a while in high school, I struggled with pride. I struggled with thinking that my own ability was enough, my accolades, my success in sports and academics in different areas was enough. And I didn't really realize my own iniquities and my own need for Christ. I wasn't following Christ yet, really, with my life. That happened at age 19, right after high school. Shortly after, I tore my ACL. I was playing indoor soccer and I tore my ACL. Through that process, I had to get knee surgery, right, or ACL surgery to repair it. And I've always had a pain in my knee now. I've done the physical therapy, but there's still some pain in my knee. And because of that, whenever I get down on my knees, I still feel the pain. I still feel the pain, and I can tell it's there. That was right before I gave my life to Christ and surrendered everything. And so something I've learned through that is, God sometimes breaks us to our knees first in order to build us back up stronger in him. For me, it was a physical, my knee hurt. He allowed me to snap that ACL and brought me to my knees. And that was right before I gave Christ my life. And so now I think of, when I get on my knees and pray, I think of that time where I was trying to do life my own way. I was struggling with pride. I didn't think I needed God in my life to direct it, to guide me, to fill me. But I obviously did. And he showed that to me in a very real way. And he's given me a little reminder. And when I wear shorts, I have a scar. And one of my kids the other day was like, "Why do you have a scar? How'd that happen?" I was like, "I've been here 4 years. You've never seen my kneecap? It gets hot in the summer. I wear shorts." But so that's a reminder for me. God qualifies the called, not calls the qualified. Right? We've heard this before. If we have a humble heart, I think God can use us. Did I share James 4:10? Okay, good. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I think if we have an attitude when whatever area we're serving or in our job or in our family, if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. And I never felt necessarily qualified to go into ministry, but I knew that when God called me into serving him, the rest of the steps have just happened, and so he's grown me into that role. I didn't start Pays and started the journey because I felt ready to do it. He brought me here first, and now he's grown me into the role, and I think that's beautiful. I think he does that for us. And finally, God is able to mold us more like him if we stay moldable. If we stay moldable and have a heart where we're willing to change, willing to grow, willing to hear feedback from others, constructive feedback. Maybe it hurts sometimes. I don't like to hear negative feedback. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a circle, right? I'm a people pleaser. But staying moldable, learning from others is going to help us grow. And it's helped me grow. Staying moldable and learning from you guys, learning from my Pays leaders has helped me grow. So, takeaways for us this morning. Stay moldable. Allow yourself to be shaped and molded by God. This is something that I've learned through my time in ministry and going to continue to live my life this way. Stay moldable. Let God continue to shape you more and more into the image of Christ. Each day, deny yourself and pick up your cross and be shaped more into the image of Christ. And finally, seek the kingdom of God above all, and the rest will be added. Matthew 6:33. This is our kind of key verse for Pays as an organization. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But seek his kingdom, first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we put him first in our life, the rest will follow. And I've discovered that. Giving my yes to God, giving my yes one time and then the next, the rest has followed, and I've ended up here, and I'm grateful. Stay moldable, let God continue to shape you, and seek the kingdom of God first, above all. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to invite the worship team to close us out in a final song. Thank you guys for being here. Youth Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays. We are doing it on the fifth Sunday of each month, and this was the fifth Sunday. So let me pray. Father God, thank you for calling us to be your children. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of your work here on this earth to advance the kingdom of God here. Lord, thank you for my time on Pays. Thank you for my involvement at the journey. Thank you for the lessons you've taught me and the lessons you're teaching us. Lord, we love you, and we want to be more like you and molded into your image. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.